Yes, it's that time of the week where we talk all things health. And good afternoon, Dennis Stewart.
Good afternoon, my dear. How are you?
I am wonderful. We missed you. It's lovely to be back with you. And today we're talking about a subject I know a lot about anyway.
Okay. All right.
You want to discuss a couple of ordinary herbs that are often overlooked as remedies that can treat particular common conditions that women have, things like hot flushes, I know about that, menopause, breast tenderness, particularly associated with periods and premenstrual tension. Sorry, men, if you're listening, you're probably not really interested.
They'll be glued.
Yeah, you might understand your partner a little bit better, or the women in your household. Now, you're going to deal with the herbs sage, evening primrose oil, and chaste tree today.
And I'm going to bring some fascinating information, particularly about the herb sage, which most people would not appreciate. It's a very medicinal herb, as well as a significantly used culinary herb. As I say frequently to people, when we talk about sage, we often think only about stuffing a chook with the sort of things we put in it to make it tasty. But sage, in Europe in particular, is strongly used medicinally. And this morning before I came away, I looked at some of the literature and refreshed myself on sage particularly, and I'm going to fascinate listeners with some of the underappreciated benefits of this simple, inexpensive, basically a supermarket herb.
And today we're talking about women's problems and certain herbs that help that. Now, sage is not commonly seen as a herb for hormonal conditions. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, I'd love to. Whilst it has significant hormonal possibilities, it's wise or useful to just inform listeners that what we're talking about is not any sophisticated, expensive preparation of the herb sage. We're talking about simply using sage as a dried herb, available even from supermarkets, let alone health food stores, an inexpensive remedy. Let me emphasise, at a time when many natural medicines are becoming too expensive, in my opinion, we're talking here about a herb which is so inexpensive that it's available across the board in retail outlets, but yet, it has profound medicinal properties that I'll talk about, particularly relevant to some of the distressing conditions that occur, particularly in women during what we used to call the change or the menopause or the transit. But first of all, we should appreciate that sage has other benefits which, again, are not well known. One of the most important benefits that sage, as a herbal infusion or a herbal tea, can be used for is addressing the sore throat. An infected sore throat is a specific indication for the making of a sage tea, which is simply a teaspoonful of the dried herb, put into a coffee cup, pour on the boiling water, let it stand and cool, strain off the infusion. That is the way in which to use it very successfully to address a stubborn or recurring, certainly an uncomfortable, sore throat condition. And by the way, for the sceptics, look at the literature, look at the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia, where that indication is one of its most important. And I looked at some of the European references again this morning, and sage is right at the top there as having some useful properties in addressing infections and soreness of the throat. Another condition for which it is popularly used, but unknown of relatively amongst people, and that is for the treatment of gum infections, for gingivitis, as it's called, for thrush, those sorts of conditions that afflict the mouth, the gums, and the tongue. Sage is a very healthy antimicrobial and astringent herb which can very successfully ameliorate the symptoms of that condition, which is very popularly experienced. Take that on board. Oral conditions, after they've been medically assessed, of course, but things like gums that are sore, gingivitis, ulcers, mouth ulcers in particular, can respond very comfortably to the use of sage as an infusion. Now, getting to one of its undiscovered benefits, When I say undiscovered, let me say very briefly that in Europe, and particularly in France, sage is a go-to remedy for women as they move through the menopause. It's as simple as that. I think we've turned the treatment of the menopause into a sophisticated, money-based, pharmaceutical-dependent enterprise. Now, that's a big call. But I believe that sage can be taken on board, as it is done in countries such as France, as a go-to remedy when those symptoms of perspiration, flushing, and particularly the nocturnal symptoms of feeling hot and perspiring, particularly, let me emphasise, the perspirational dilemma that can afflict many people, many women going through this change. Sage is a remarkable and proven remedy, and it is in fact described technically as an anti-hydrotic herb. Now, what does that mean? Don't want to get too medical, but it basically means a herb that has been demonstrated scientifically to have a benefit in abnormal perspirational activity. I'll give listeners an example of what I'm talking about. For many years, I practiced in Gosford for over 30, 35 years. And I remember one case very distinctly, a lady who came up from Goulburn, and she came to visit her daughter in Wyoming, a suburb of Gosford. This woman, since the menopause, she was an elderly lady approaching 70 years of age. She came to see me because she was plagued with this condition that had never retreated, and that was constant perspiration of the scalp. And her life was a nightmare in as much that she was constantly required to shampoo her hair to make it presentable. It was an embarrassment to her. And her daughter suggested that she come and see me. There's an off chance that I might have been able to help her, she said. And we put that lady onto sage. Within a very short period of time, within the month that that lady was on the Central Coast visiting her daughter, the use of sage tea, or sage infusion, if we want to use a technical term, that gave her relief, unprecedented in her experience of this condition. I know a lot about the use of sage being a useful remedy to ameliorate the flushing and particularly the perspirational symptoms associated with the menopause. More about this remarkable herb, common, inexpensive. Try it first, I would suggest, for this set of symptoms before you spend a lot of money on products that may give you no better a result.
Well, Helena from Nelson Bay, she's got a question about sage. Yes. Helena.
Oh, hi there. That's just interesting about the menopause. That was going to be one of my questions, but
there
my
you
main
go.
Question
there you go.
Was,
okay.
Because now I'm at that end of it.
Oh, but, okay.
Unfortunately, my daughter's been diagnosed with endometriosis.
Yes.
I did have it when I was young and had several surgeries. And they're giving her hormonal options, so
yes.
The pill or the Mirena.
Yes.
And it's just she's so symptomatic. So would that probably be, could she try it in a tea? How could she do that?
Oh, look, sage might be useful there. It is not a herb that one is selected by medical herbalists to predominantly address endometriosis. It might surprise you when I say that a long-term dose or taking of the herb of Vitex agnus castus has proven itself in my many years of experience to be very, very useful for managing endometriosis, particularly when it keeps occurring and when it is threatening fertility. Now, let me put it in perspective. I'm not suggesting in any way that this should be seen as an alternative treatment. I'm suggesting that where the medical approach is problematical, or where there's a reluctance on the part of the patient to go that way, or where the symptoms are early, the use of Vitex in elevated dosages from a professional practitioner would be my way of addressing the problem, where I've used it mainly for many years as being a lead remedy to address the hormonal factor that feeds endometriosis. So while sage would be useful as a herb to manage perhaps some of the symptoms, particularly if it were accompanied by uncomfortable hormonal symptoms characterized by heat or inflammation, it might be useful there. But I retreat back to what I said, that the primary herb that a medically trained herbalist would use would be to draw on a standardized potent preparation of the herb Vitex agnus castus, usually prescribed in a liquid form in a particular dosage and monitored, because it will only work if it is in that form, and taken in the dosage. But let me just say, your daughter would be well advised to work with her medical managers and make the decision after they have advised her. She should follow their advice first, but realise that Vitex agnus castus would be a useful thing also to contemplate using, even with a medical management.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Thank you so much.
That's okay. That's what I'm here for.
Thanks so much for the call, Helena. We appreciate it.
Bye.
Have a great day. Bye. Okay, next on the line we have Catherine from Macquarie Hills. Hi, Catherine. How can we help?
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I'm 62, at the end or past menopause, not on any hormone therapy, but have absolutely no interest in sex at all, thus no libido, much to my husband's disappointment. Any special magic potion there?
Look, I don't think there's any magic potion, but I can mention a few herbs that many of my patients over the years have used. With some success. The main thing in addressing this problem is to treat it from primarily a hormonal perspective. And here one would look at those herbs which are characterised as being useful for their hormonal chemistry. And these are sometimes herbs that are used to address the menopause and the other symptoms associated with it, not just, if you like, libido. But herbs like, for instance, red clover and the herb black cohosh, they are herbs that contain what are called phytoestrogens. If I were looking at treating this condition, which is very, very multifactorial, I would think of red clover, black cohosh in combination in a formula. I would also draw on a herb called Damiana, which is a South American herb, which has a good reputation for this condition. And also what I would suggest is the use of the herb Vitex agnus castus. All of that put together by a compounding pharmacist or by a herbalist, whoever has a herbal dispensary, those herbs I would see as being potentially useful for loss of libido. But you would be well advised, I think, Catherine, with that condition, perhaps to consult a professional to look at other factors that might be contributing to it. But off the cuff, they would be some of the herbs that I would think about recommending to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Catherine. And before we go to Peter, Dennis, you wanted to talk about Helena and the Vitex agnus castus that you were talking about.
Yes, and look, I noticed that Helena had an English accent, which is great, but I wanted to just tell the dear lady that my training in herbal medicine is very strongly dependent on great English herbalists. And I frequently make mention of that and I'm proud of it. But with reference to the herb Vitex agnus castus, one of my primary sources of knowledge many years ago was a text written by a famous English herbalist called Captain Geoffrey Whitehouse. Very pucker name, but he was a very well-known herbalist practicing in England, and wrote a book, Every Woman's Guide to Natural Health. And that was my first introduction to the way in which, at that time, English herbalists were taking note of what was happening in Europe, where Vitex agnus castus was used much more popularly and was, at that stage, starting to incorporate it into literature, herbal medicine literature in England, and teach it to students of herbal medicine in England, and I was fortunate enough to lock in to that time and period. So I thought that dear lady might be interested to know that a lot of Vitex's knowledge is based on the work of that famous English herbalist, Captain Geoffrey Whitehouse.
Good name too. I'd like a name that starts with Captain as well.
Would you? Yeah, I missed out. I was in the school cadets, but I didn't get much further than a Lance Corporal.
Well, you got further than me anyway. Peter, Warners Bay, hello. Thanks for holding. How can we help you?
I was an under officer.
Hey,
well, how here. About that?
Yeah, look, I have a problem. I take a antibiotic, cefaflexin or whatever it's called.
Yes.
I take 400-500 milligram a day, which is half of what I used to have. I've got an infection in my back. Anyhow, I take an antibiotic to try and...
Or probiotic, you mean? Or...
Probiotic, sorry. You know, for the flatulence and the burping and things like that. And every now and then, it sort of... I don't know, it's hard to explain. It rears its head. And those two things become very... a lot of it. And you know, do I take another probiotic or do I get a different probiotic? Okay. I take a Nature's Way probiotic.
Okay.
It's not a 30 million one or a 100 million one. I only ever learned that about them today, actually.
Sure. Peter, let me just put it in perspective. You're on antibiotic medication and associated with that, you are taking a probiotic with the view of lessening flatulence associated with the taking of the antibiotic. Is that a correct interpretation?
Yeah.
I think you might be placing a little bit of too much emphasis on the probiotic's ability to deal with serious flatulence. I think that I'm not disputing that it's a very useful agent, particularly when you're on the antibiotic. That's great. But what I guess I'm saying is before... moving towards, if you like, a stronger antibiotic, which I think might be a bit questionable as far as its ability to address this this flatulence that you experience, I would be going a more simpler way, and I'd suggest what you do is in conjunction with your probiotic, you begin to take seriously the use of peppermint tea, and you begin to use... a lot of chamomile tea. Now, if you were to read modern European herbal medicine, that approach using those two herbs is very, very commendable. And I've always seen chamomile, peppermint as being the two remedies to start with where you have what are called functional symptoms associated with the gastrointestinal tract. My advice would be, and you could talk to your pharmacist about this, but my advice would be not to go down the pathway necessarily of seeing a stronger antibiotic doing the job. I questioned that a bit, but try an ongoing, regular, daily use of a couple of cups of chamomile tea with or separate to a couple of cups of peppermint tea.
Does it have to be chamomile or peppermint or just the rooibos?
Look, the reason I'm mentioning those two teas is that there is a lot of clinical and credible pharmaceutical and pharmacological action associated with those two herbs as far as their specificity for those sorts of symptoms. Now, I'm not suggesting that what you've referred to is not potentially useful. That's fine. But I'm saying if you're a patient of mine, the go-to herbs initially to start the dialogue would be chamomile and peppermint, either as herbal teas or in more sophisticated forms. But as you picked up today, I'm a great believer in the simple European way of harnessing the benefits of the herb. I would be very surprised if you didn't do more good for yourself going that way.
All right, I'll give that a go. See what happens.
Get back and let me know. I'm happy to help you, Peter.
Thanks very much, Peter. Appreciate your call. Okay, next we have Hilton from Charlestown. Hi, Hilton. How can we help you?
Hi, Dennis. How are you going?
Hello, Hilton.
No flatulence problems and no women's problems.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a good. I don't know whether that's a good starting point or not. Well, there are a lot of men's problems, you know, but men don't talk about their problems, do they? Until it hits the fan, so to speak, and then it's too late.
Yeah. Well, I took your advice.
Yes, yes.
About using green lip muscle.
Oh yes.
For my knees.
Yes.
I'm using the Henry Blooms.
Yeah, that's a good brand.
Yeah. And it's been about 3 months.
Yes.
And I don't see any improvement.
Okay.
Should I leave it longer?
No. Everything comes down to dosage,
yep.
And everything comes down to the form that you're taking it in. It's a tablet or capsule or what form is it?
500 milligram capsule.
Okay.
And twice a day.
Okay. Hilton, I haven't got...
Sorry. Two a day.
Okay. I haven't got any references before me here, but what I'm prepared to do is when I get back to my rooms, if you ring my rooms, they'll remind me when I get back to go to the literature and see what is being used, not only at a retail level, but what's being used professionally with green lip muscle. So I'm not shirking the question. It's just that I know a fair amount about green lip muscle. It has a remarkable reputation for working like glucosamine, and I'm surprised that you're not getting some indication, but a lot depends upon dosage. But let me emphasise also that it, with lots of things, what works for one may not work for another.
Yeah.
But green lip muscle is a food. It comes in a medicinal form. It has a good reputation, and it was made so famous for its benefits in addressing hip and knee joint problems in tractable conditions that it was written up as an article in the British Medical Journal that made its fame in many ways. So just ring my rooms. I'll check it out when I get back and we'll get on the job, and I'll let you know if the dosage you are using might need to be elevated. But again, first up, contact the manufacturer. They're good people, and see what they say about dosage elevation. But I'll have a look at it in any case.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Hilton.
Yes, yes.
Can I reach the rooms this afternoon?
I think there'll be someone back there now.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. This is Health Naturally on 2NURFM, and we have Melissa from New Lambton on the line. You're suffering from something that I suffer from, restless legs. You there, Melissa?
Yes, hello. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Dennis.
Hello. Look, I'm going to hand you over to the specialist on restless legs. This dear lady is a classic case of clinically proving the remedy. So listen to you and listeners.
Well,
hand
I can
it
tell
over
you,
to you, my dear.
I can tell you what works for me, because people say magnesium. It doesn't work for me. It makes it worse. But I use cypress oil. So I get a little bottle of cypress oil and I put it in one of those, I think it's a 10-mil roller bottle.
Yep.
And I put about, I put 10 to 15 drops in, and then I fill the rest up with fractionated coconut oil. And then I rub it on my legs every night before bed, and it seems to do the trick.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you say fractionated?
Fractionated coconut oil. Look, if you don't have that, you can just get a bottle of the cypress oil and get some moisturiser. So just put a bit of moisturiser on your hand, put a drop or so of the cypress oil on top of that, and just rub the moisturiser into your legs.
Right, terrific. Well, it's not completely for, well, it's not for me, it's for my mum, who's suffering really, really badly with it, in that her legs are now almost like jumping up in the air.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's gotten worse and worse over time, and she's not able to sleep. She's had some medications given to her via the doctor, but they're just not helping. And she's beside herself.
Well, look, you've listened to someone here who knows a lot about it, and it's not going to cost you any serious money. You might just say that any essential oil shouldn't be orally taken. We're not talking about any oral usage. We're talking about a topical use of the herb in the way that my dear associate here has mentioned. I'll have to get her to write down all the information so that I can put it in my forthcoming herbal medicine book. But no, listen to it, because it's a very, very common condition. This dear lady may well have given you a breakthrough.
Yeah, some people say peppermint as well, but for me, there's cypress oil.
Try it.
And I will. Thank you so much for the advice. Is the cypress oil just available at health food?
No, usually you can get it online. I'll just put you on hold and I'll get Peter to give you brands. Obviously, we can't mention brands on air because of advertising issues, but I'll put you on hold and I'll get Peter to let you know. Okay.
Okay, that's terrific. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
okay.
Joanne.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, next, hang on, let me work out how to put her on hold. There we go. All right, next on the line we have Joanne from Mount View. Joanne, how can we help?
Hi, I suffer from a disease called rickettsia, which is a tick-borne disease, and I'm just wondering, help, anything really that can help me.
What are your symptoms, Joanne? Because you would appreciate that this is a controversial condition, and so one has to be rather cautious as to what is said and what advice can be given about what is sometimes called Lyme disease. Tell me about your history. Was it where did you contract it?
In a mouse plague back in 2021. And it was diagnosed as shingles.
Okay.
So it's 4.5 years. I'm now nerve pain. I don't sleep very well. I get restless legs. I can say bamboo socks help with that. Vague concentration.
There's a whole heap of symptoms that go under the heading of this. Joanne, it would be very glib of me and perhaps doing an injustice to your question to off-the-cuff recommend anything for this. Again, what I would do, and I say it quite honestly, if you want me to look at it, send a note or a page to my rooms in New Lambton and I'll look at it for you free of charge and give you some comments on it. I don't want listeners to think that I have the answer to Lyme's disease, but I may well be able to help you with some of the symptoms that you're experiencing, and I'm happy to do that. So if you hang
on. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay, my dear. I'll get the receptionist to give you some details on how you can contact me, and I'll genuinely look at your situation. If I can't help you, I'll let you know. If I've got a few clues, I'll let you know.
Thank you so much. And, bamboo socks for restless legs.
Okay.
Bamboo socks, there you go.
Through the day, if you've got to wear socks, wear bamboo ones, it helps.
Well, you might be surprised if I say this, Joanne, but I wear bamboo socks.
Don't get restless legs?
No, and I find them, when I put on other socks, I feel uncomfortable, but I bought bamboo socks up in good old Cessnock, and I won't wear anything else.
Yep, I discovered them on night shift and it was the only thing that could get me through.
Isn't that interesting?
We're all learning something today.
Yeah, we did, yeah. Okay. Good on you. Good on you, Joanne.
All right, I'll pop you on hold and Peter can give you some information about Dennis.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we've got Andrew on the line. And, Andrew, you want to talk about a fatty liver?
Yes. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Andrew. Nice to talk to you.
We've got a bit of history. I did some signs for you and your church and for your plants and all that.
How about that? Well, thank you. Thank
my pleasure.
Okay. How can I help you, Andrew?
I've got a lovely doctor down in Head and Greeter.
Yes.
He's only been there for a while, but we transferred down there and they went through us like a dose of salt.
Yes.
Lovely people.
Yes, good.
And he had to look at my last blood test and he said, righto, over for her ultrasound and come back and says, I've got fatty liver.
Fatty liver, yes.
Right, what can I do for that?
Okay. Did he Did he liver function test, and were your liver enzymes elevated?
That's probably why he sent me there.
Okay. Look, fatty liver is not uncommon. It is, in fact, fairly common. To talk about a cure for it would be controversial, but I have no hesitation in recommending the ongoing use of a perfectly harmless herb, again made famous in European herbal medicine, the herb called St. Mary's Thistle. If you were to get hold of, not that I suggest you do because it's an expensive book, the book written by the great German medical herbalist and medical practitioner, Dr. Rudolf Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, Rudolf Weiss, for the sceptics out there or for those that might be interested in a more medical approach to herbal medicine, Weiss's book, the English translation of it, simply called Herbal Medicine, that's the go-to book, and I have lectured from it in my long lecturing career all my life. It's one of the most precious books, and his monograph in that book on St. Mary's Thistle, botanically known as Salebum marianum, is hard to beat, and I mention it because there he sees St. Mary's Thistle as having value in the management of fatty liver. And I'm sure your doctor would be interested because the clinical information will support what I'm saying and the European use of it and now the Australian use of it, although the Australian use of it is mainly at a retail level, and that's fine, but at times underestimates the incredible value that this herb, St. Mary's Thistle, has for conditions that can be managed, such as fatty liver.
Right, Al. I'm at Ted and Greta Curry Way. Yes. Where do I get it from?
Oh, look, you'd have a health food store there. If not, if you go into Cessnock, into the clinic there, Sally Bowen's clinic, it would be stocked there. Even your pharmacist might have it. It's a common herb and very safe, and I'm not aware of its ability to clash with anything. And if your enzymes are elevated, as they perhaps might be, it would be not unexpected that there might be some reduction in your enzymes, particularly what's referred to as your GGT. That's one of the enzymes.
Righto. Okay. All right. I shall go and chase my chemist up, St. Mary's Thistle.
Yeah, talk to your chemist. He will probably know something about it, and I'm sure he would have it there. If not, Bowen's Clinic in Cessnock would have it. And, let get back and let us know what the response of your good doctor was.
Righto. Will do.
Thank you very much, Dennis.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew. Dennis, we've got about a minute left. Do you want to have a chat more about sage? I was going to ask you, you were talking about having it in a tea. Mm. How much sage? So a teaspoon of sage?
Teaspoonful of the dried herb.
Yeah.
Coffee cup of boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
And you let it stand until it's cool, obviously, and then you strain it. And it's used in that form. The thing with sage is it shouldn't be overused, as all herbs with essential oils in them should not be overused when they're taken as oral medication. And one thing I need to point out, that nursing mothers might not be advised to take sage tea because it can inhibit lactation. In fact, it's sometimes used by mothers who wish to stop breastfeeding. The taking of sage tea, particularly as a cold or a cooler preparation, is a pretty sure way of seeing one's milk drying up, so to speak. So that might be worthwhile bringing into the equation. Mm. It has its uses, and that is one that's not well known in an inhibition of lactation.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I think it's always worth checking out anything before you take it anyway. So
yes, indeed.
That's it. Well, thank you, Dennis. We'll talk more about women's problems next week, I'd say.
I think we might.
Yeah, we'll get to primrose oil. So,
we will indeed.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.